Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I direct your attention to the center arena, where the two combatants are ready to enter for an epic showdown. Coming in from London, Ontario, Canada, the Game Guy, Stadium J, NES J, now Dolly J, Shelfer J, Retro Sub Action Figure Hero J, Mr. J.
Oh, hey, buddy guy. That was your announcer voice?
No, that was my boy. Do I wish I had Red Bull and Wings voice? Because I don't remember those commercials. Red Bull gives you wings. That and Barks guys bite. I miss those commercials. I need something going.
I was just thinking that I don't drink. I used to drink those Rock Stars, but they exploded my guts. You know when you get up in the morning and the sun hasn't even risen yet, yes, and you can barely function, and you make that first coffee. And that energy you have first thing in the morning, look at you yawning. That I wish that with every cup of coffee like this one here, that you could get that burst of energy like you do first thing in the morning with your first cup. That is like the best time of the whole day. I tell you, nighttime is not.
You're chasing that morning daylight, man. Every day I'm chasing that morning daylight. I love now that the sun is fairly bright at this point in the day. I had to take the garbage out today to the curb, and the last 3 months it's been like pitch black, bumbling around the snow-filled yard.
And ice. Day, yeah.
Yeah, today the dawn was already upon us. I could see where I was going, and as I came in, threw the kettle on for the coffee, I could feel the energy. And then once that coffee was gone, I've just been chasing that high all day long, my friend. It's
not.
Oh my God. What is wrong with us? But welcome to another week. You are looking fresh and recharged on some level for our audio listeners, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't look too bad right now. You don't look too bad. We've sound better. I'll tell you that.
You didn't used to look this way.
No, you look better.
Look better.
I'm happy to say, at least for you, as per our bet and as per our request, purchased your DC Multiverse Batgirl Deluxe.
Yes.
And she is in my house just for you. And I also want to retire from any more bets because I'm terrible.
No, this was your bet. You wanted to go this for the entire year. So my question for you, that was February.
Yeah, no.
It's March 1st. Have you made a personal purchase yet?
No, but I have, and you know this, we can't really say much beyond this. I have some toy business that you and I need to take care of tomorrow. I need to go take care of. And I'm afraid that when I go do this toy business, that might be a disastrous, but we'll have to see.
I don't even know what this toy business is, so I'm in the dark here, folks. You got any hints for me, any codes, any secret inside handshakes or winks that you can let me know about what this toy business is?
It's regarding season two. We gotta go talk to a guy about something about season two, something about season two over here.
Well, that's pretty not helpful at all. Thanks to everybody who's joining us in the chat. We're gonna give a big shout out, of course, to the one and the only Lisa first. She wasn't the first to say hi. She didn't even wait in the chat. She didn't care enough to show up early. We warned her last week. Nonetheless, hello, Lisa. Hello. We also got Severus Snape in the chat. We have Ryan B, Cactus Jamie, as always, Silver Knight Kyle, Tater the Toy Guy, Upstate Johnny, Cindy. We got Scott, Retro Universe Toys and Collectibles. And that's all we got saying hi so far. If you are in the chat and if you are watching this, say hi. This is a very special episode where we're going to get to some Q&A from you to us, from us to you, from us to each other. And I don't know, maybe somewhere in the middle, something will get answered and something will make sense. I promise nothing of worth will come from this episode. I don't even know if the questions are good. Do you have any questions to start, Jay Bartlett?
Well, we were talking backstage about G.I. Joe specifically. The classifieds, and we got our buddy Scott in the chat from Retro
Best Universe. Line going today, G.I. Joe classified, thanks to lovely folks. Or are we talking G.I. Joe retro O-rings or not retro O-rings?
No. But by the way, I don't know if we talked about this last time. Did you see the Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes?
No, we did talk about it briefly. You said that they looked horrible. Hello, Danny, as well, who's watching and making dinner.
They gave, it's supposed to be like the originals. And then they gave Snake Eyes, I believe, version 3's backpack and a sword.
Yeah, you said it was mixed. But that's like the best of both worlds, isn't it? Isn't it, Jay? You're hoping just to get everything version 1. Like you remember it when you were a kid. But secretly in the back of your imagination, as much as you wanted version 1 everything, and it looks like and was advertised as such, you get to have version 3 just shoved in there, because why would we fulfill your dreams and desires as an adult collector?
I thought that was the whole thing. I thought that Hasbro was listening, and when they announced the new retro figures and that they weren't O-ring, that the big disappointment that washed over everybody. And they still can't get it right. But they love to dump the original Hector Garrido artwork on us. They love to do that instead of creating new artwork, which I will say that, my hat's off to Super 7 and Reaction for at least creating new artwork for their stuff. But we get the same old Garrido artwork that is legendary, don't get me wrong. But it's like, if you're going to show the original Snake Eyes artwork, give me the original Snake Eyes. They don't do that. And then that two-pack is $100 Canadian. So you're telling me that those figures are $50 each.
Canadian. That's right.
Canadian.
Those are basically like a Marvel Legend each.
More than that, which is crazy. And so I got my hands on it, and this thing is sealed in a box.
Oh, that's right. One of those with weird
version 2. Yeah. Snake Eyes fighting Storm Shadow on the box. See, dude, this is what I'm talking about. I don't understand this.
You know what we used to call this? You remember?
Well, those words right now, but yeah.
You remember what we used to call this? We used to call this Generations, where you're mixing and matching the generations so nothing aligns properly. These aren't clever callbacks and nods.
You're advertising a product, and you're sloppy. Not even delivering what's inside the box. It's stuck up Generations. It's called. They don't know what they're doing. It's terrible.
That's fair. I think Hasbro is listening to the sound of the cash register going ching over and over and over again, because people are continually getting exciting. One question that I did have on the list, and we can talk more about the classified, the big reveals.
Yeah, let's do that in a bit, because I have lots to say about that. Yeah.
One question. Well, okay, we'll get to G.I. Joe in a bit then. It's right on my list, I promise. Sure. I did want to spend some time talking about the auction, of course, that we have running right now in the background of all the things we do for Action Figure Adventure Season 2. Early this morning, our third item, Soundwave G1, box complete, stickerless, yet sticker sheet intact with manuals, pristine, perfect chrome, sold on eBay. How do you feel about this?
I feel great. And when people see the story that follows this great piece, it makes it that much more sweet. I think it did exceptionally well. It did, I think, a little bit more than what you and I thought it might do. But I'm quite pleased. And I've talked to each and every person that has won these items, and they're all going to really great homes, which is awesome.
Well, this comment has made my evening, as tired as I am and yet excited to talk toys with you, my friend. Our good pal Nathan Sawyer, Tater the Toy Guy, was one of the bidders. We talked about this last week. He was engaged and locked into a back and forth duel with some masked assailant who constantly kept thwarting him, it seemed, with every bid that he would make.
And well, now he's right below Nathan in the chat there. I didn't want to out anybody, but there you go.
Upstate Johnny. This is the showdown. Upstate Johnny versus Tater the Toy Guy. Like, that is
Johnny,
like,
wants to say something tonight. He can. I'm not saying anything about who won anything. So,
well, this is awesome. But Nathan is saying he overslept and forgot to snipe it. And this is hilarious, because I talked to Nathan, and we've been going back and forth. I'm like, well, how high are you going to bid? Where are you going to end it? Are you going to throw a big bid on it before you go to sleep last night? Because it's early for you, and I don't know if you're going to get up. So are you going to take a Hail Mary And before you go to bed, up your high bid, or are you just going to let the chips lie where they lie and wake up to the results? And clearly he woke up to the results, and that result is an empty shelf in his collection that will not see the addition of a pristine, chrome perfect, stickerless, yet sticker sheet intact Soundwave.
And you really love to rub that in.
Well, you know, sometimes people just make mistakes that'll haunt them forever. I just know certain collections would be more rounded, better off if they had such pristine marquee examples of figures from their childhood. But hey, it's not my bid.
So because everything has been housed with me since we shot, Amanda Man was pretty tough to mail. The Dino Rider, I wasn't super partial to, but I didn't want to see it go. But Soundwave is the first one that's really going to hurt to box up and ship that away. That's it's a really nice piece. I'm just saying, you know, speaking with a personal connection that I have with, sure, Soundwave, and the artwork is just gorgeous. And okay, so yeah, I mean, yeah. So Johnny's obviously the one who got Soundwave, and congrats to him. We were speaking this morning. He's really, really excited to get it. And yeah, it's going to a great home. I know he's a collector and he's a great dude, and it's all for a good cause.
I was going to ask you literally which of the three items that it sold, the Man-O-Man, the Ankylosaurus for Dino Riders, or Soundwave, was the hardest to see vacate your temporary dolly shelf. And Soundwave, that's interesting. For me, it's toss it between Soundwave and a Man-O-Man. Man-O-Man is such a cool figure, such a unique sculpt.
He is. But
you don't see box Soundwaves that often in that condition. That one is cool to see because of the condition. And hey, frankly, the story that goes with it, which is the real icing on the cake for all these things. Of course, everything helps benefit the Children's Health Foundation. But to see that story, to know that it's going to help kids, that's where it's at. That's wicked. And now, which item is currently up for grabs, Jay? Which item is
this on the gentleman right here from more obscure line, Kenner Centurion's line? That's Max Ray. I have Ace McCloud in the collection. That's my only Centurion. They're great figures, man. They're gigantic. They're like seven or eight inches. They're modular, so you know, in the cartoon it shows, you know, the armor goes on a certain way most of the time, but you can put it, they have holes everywhere in their armor, so you can put all their parts in any formation you want, which is great. And you can mix and match parts if you have the other two guys as well. So this is the water specialist, yeah. Max Ray.
Yeah. Max Ray, the Sea Commander. Everybody loves Ace usually that I talk to that remembers Centurion, yeah, but yeah. Max Ray was my jam. And so it
looks
really
like
cool.
Burt Reynolds. Who doesn't like Burt Reynolds?
Right? I was going to go Mario. Kind of looks like a G.I. Joe Mario crossover. So if anybody saw our Action Figure Adventure stories on Instagram, that's why I had the Mario theme playing underneath the auction link, because it's just... Mm. It just felt like Mario. But yeah, that's a cool figure. Again, cool story when we get to reveal it. But if you don't have a Centurion in your collection, this might be one of your only chances to get something that's mint. Because as we talk about in the series, you do not find them loose complete ever.
You don't find them loose.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't. And a Centurion loose without his weapons, I got to be honest, is a pretty sad sight. It's a pretty sad sight indeed.
It's just full of holes, begging to get filled. Moving on. Any regrets from February, your purchases? You happy with everything that you got for yourself? I know you lost the bet and all, but you happy with all the purchases you made?
I'm working on a plan now. I've got a structured plan on stuff I want to do. So I'm kind of chipping away at my Joe collection. I've got it in my head that my goal, I want to finish the 500 figures.
Wow.
But they don't have to be, complete. I'm happy to get the figures and chip away at the accessories as I see if I ever get that far. But yeah, I want to complete the Real American Hero line, figures, not vehicles, because honestly, past, I would say 85, and that's being real honest, or past 85, the vehicles just don't interest me.
see maybe some pick and choose.
One or two here and there. Yeah.
Serpentor's Chariot.
Yeah, I got Serpentor. Serpentor's great.
Night Raven.
Oddly enough, the Raven, the Battle Force 2000, which is the unpopular opinion. I love that line. I love the unpainted kind of futuristic Mad Max vehicles. I would like to get those. But the figures, the Defiant, I would love to get. Oh, I was talking with Michael Mercy, our good pal there, today. And he got one for cheap, and it's not complete. And we're going to be talking this weekend also about how that's okay that it's not complete. You know, we have to ease back as collectors.
No. Perfect mint complete.
No, yeah.
Or it doesn't go on the shelf. Perfect mint complete. Or it doesn't go on the shelf. It's got to be the best of the best, or I'm not the best of the best. I need to be perfect. I need to be complete. Therefore, my figure needs to be complete.
There's some tricky figures, man, that I don't have. Payload and Hardtop from the Defiant. I think, I can't remember if it's Payload or Hardtop. One of them is like $550 on eBay. He's got a little antenna too, which is ultra difficult, but I like it. I like the challenge of collecting G.I. Joe. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a fun plan that I've put ahead of myself, and this is all sparked, of course. I've started to do a lot more Joe stuff on my channel just because the little mini playsets have been going over really well. So I've been going through the Blomo guy, and I've decided just to go for it.
So this is a Q&A topic. So if anybody in the chat has questions, feel free to throw it in there. We will try to slot it in where appropriate. Jay, you talking about trying to complete a line touches on one of the questions that got thrown at us, which was first mentioned on our good friends podcast, Toy Power Podcast out of Australia. The guys down there were talking about when is a line complete and what do you consider a line to be complete? How far does it have to go in your eyes in order to say, I have it all, it is complete? So I just wanted to kind of leave it open and hear what you think is a good definition of a complete toy line.
Oh, man. Well, I think I gave my version of what I think complete is. And I've said this from the beginning. I know that you've kind of changed your tune maybe a little bit. I still think you disagree with me, Rob, on this. Where
I'll do it just for comedy.
So, yeah. Like, so G.I. Joe has 500 figures. To get one of each figure and to do that 500, that would be complete to me, because the most important thing to me is the action figure itself. The accessories, of course, enhance it and make it better, yeah, but I think having the figure, just having a representation of that figure or that vehicle, I think would be completing a run. Then I would take it further and say 100% completion. That's when you got, you know, you're talking about the flag. It has all 151 pieces. That's 100% complete. Or, you know, Snake Eyes version 1, he has 2 accessories. So that would be 100% completion. So I go complete and then 100% complete.
What about foreign figures or variants, like running changes within the line where some pieces are different or paint or, you know, there's maybe like Action Force outside of Real American Hero, but those are the same sculpts. It was called something different.
And, sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That stuff.
No, it's under the Action Force label. So even though it's the same mold, it's still a completely different line, brother and sister line for sure. Variants. I mean, we ran into this problem with Nintendo Quest when
this is why I bring it up, to be honest.
Right. When we were compiling our list of the 700 games, it was the same kind of thing, you know, Zelda Gold, Zelda Gray. Do you count? I can't remember. I think we did.
Yeah, well, we inflated Metroid, it. We didn't make a big point of it. We decided that we would add them to it. Same with Metroid, the greatest hits version, and Punch Out.
Various degrees of that. The Kenner Jedi Knight, Luke Skywalker. There's the Made in Taiwan is flesh colored. So when you scrape it off, it's black underneath. And then the American one, it's brown underneath. And so, I mean, and then there's, you know, New Hope, there's the light-haired Luke and the dark-haired Luke. So it's
how far Han, small head Han.
It's how far you want to take it. I mean, I would, you know, Star Wars has 100 and something figures. If he had one of each, I would count that as complete. That's me. And then, you know, 100% complete is a really big label. So that's where you would have the variants, the accessories and all that stuff. That's just how I talk
Joe then, just for the sake of trying to nail this down, and then we'll get to some of the questions in the chat because they're following along our themes. Thank God. We don't have to jump around too much and screw with people's minds. Do you say, I just want one figure from Real American Hero, one of the 500 figures? Is that like a placeholder goal? And then once you have that, it's, well, I kind of want to get all the accessories now. Or maybe you'll get some of the foreign exclusives or some of the variants and the mail-aways.
Well, the mail-aways are part of it, right?
So so for some people, it's not. Yeah. Nintendo Quest, we just did retail. If it was on the shelf, that's what we counted.
But if you're counting, like what I'm saying, if you're going for the figures, there are five variants of Steel Brigade. I would say if you have one, you have Steel Brigade. Right. If you want to do the variants, then that's fine. But you have
Steel Brigade,
right?
Tiger Force Bazooka is a different kind of variant, or Tiger Force Duke is a different kind of variant than
It's a different version. That's different, right? So that's
It's Tiger a variant of the same character. He's got different colored pants. He's got tiger jammies on.
In Joe terms, though, Tiger Force Bazooka is version 2 of Bazooka. So that is a different figure, technically. That's not really a variant. That's a completely different paint scheme, which Hasbro, you know, loves to do.
They love to do it.
They slap a different color, and all of a sudden he's, you know, another $20 or whatever. So those I would say, yeah. So Tiger Force, you have to get those. You have to get Duke and Flint, and those honestly are the hardest for me to do because they're really expensive, and it's nothing really new other than a paint job.
That's fair. That's fair. Jumping into chat here, Silver Knight Kyle wants to know, which of the you two is more of a completionist? Jay, are you more of a completionist, or am I more of a completionist?
Rob is, yeah.
That's such an incorrect answer.
Well, I keep referring to one of your favorite figures, which is the blank from Dick Tracy. And we talked about this a while ago where I said, would you want the figure just to have the figure, so she didn't have her hat or her mask, she didn't have her gun or the briefcase, would you just want the figure to have it? You're like, no, with that one I have to have it complete, kind of thing, where I would take the figure completely naked just to say I have the blank, and then, you know, that's the difference there. So I'm just referencing that.
But that would be like the accessories, right? The mask is the accessory. As far as completionist or completist, I don't have anywhere. I'm looking around my room right now. I don't have any line that's even close to being complete. I think the closest I got are the Super 7 Masters of the Universe kind of neo retro vintage ones, where it's the as seen on TV, where they look like the old ones, but they're not. And they have the old packaging that came out, and they had Hero and Eldor as part of that as well. And they have like Crystal Man-at-Arms and Gold He-Man. That's probably the only line. And I think I have every single figure for that. That's the only figure line that I have all of them for. Every other line, I don't even think I've attempted to go down a complete path. Certainly not vintage. I've never set my scopes on something to do like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a daunting task for any line. I've talked about Inhumanoids quite a bit, and that's a small line, and so is Bravestar. But you know, they're expensive lines too. So completing any line, I think, is difficult, and I think you need a lot of discipline to do it. Which is funny because this is, you know, choices that we're making to spend our income on, but it's, you need a lot of discipline to have the focus and drive to say, okay, I'm not gonna stray too far. I'm gonna take all the extra cash I have for this hobby and put it into finishing this goal.
Sever Snape wants to know, I've only ever collected custom Harry Potter sideshow pieces, but my question is, why are all the Star Wars Joe and Masters Universe lines so pre-order heavy now? It's quite a turn off to making a jump to the other lines. Custom Harry Potter sideshow pieces, that is a niche I haven't heard yet. It obviously makes sense with wicked. Your name.
That's really cool. Sideshow, that's awesome.
But why everything so pre-order heavy now? Well, because if you were a company and you could take money for years without having to give somebody, you know, the item for, but you had the track record of delivering, I guess you would if you could. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's just too much of a risk to produce X number of units and put it on the shelf. Who knows? What do you think, Jay? Why is it so pre-order heavy?
Well, yeah, they want to guarantee sales, right? And because distribution at retail is not what it once was, this is a surefire way for them to guarantee sales. And they do that. They do these PulseCon exclusives, these PulseCon live streams that are nothing more than commercials for us to pre-order. That's what they are. That's exactly what they are. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. That's just kind of the way it's going now. Retail toy hunting is difficult, and there's a lot of people that make a living at it now. So it's a tough battle. It's not just hunting for your own pleasure now. It's literally like a battlefield out there.
I also think the pre-order schema lends itself to more marketing and more buzz, as we're likely going to talk about Classified at some point soon in the new figures that they announced and put up for pre-order. By being able to announce something that's down the road, you get excited by it, and then it also probably jumpstarts some of the back catalog as well. Like, oh, I missed that. I better get that now because this is coming now. And so you get to fill your gaps a little bit. So I think there's a little bit of an advertising gimmick in there as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have mail-aways anymore. We have...
Everything's mail-away, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Target exclusive... especially for Joe's, you know, they've kind of eased up on that a little bit at least. But yeah, that's kind of the mail-away stuff. But, you know, when we were kids, when we were growing up, mail-aways were something really special. You know, the 95 and up Star Wars, the Spirit of Obi-Wan, I remember we both got that. And that was really something cool, man.
Bomar Monk?
The Bomar Monk, Moff Talking Cobb, another mail away duo. It's just great stuff. And of course, when we were kids, you know, the first Slaughter, heck, the first Duke, the Hooded Cobra Commander, all that stuff was mail away. So it was really exciting getting that white Hasbro box in the mail.
Yeah, so decorative. so beautiful as it arrives. You might, you know, mistake it for a doorstop that you use because they put so much effort into it. Here's your figure, you crummy kid.
We're not even going to produce artwork for this, you pig.
Cactus Jamie's asking about one of my other documentary projects. Is Saving Mr. Dressup coming out this year? Well, we are moving forward with the documentary biopic on one of Canada's premier children's entertainers and the show of the same name. So that is coming down the pipe at some point. Ryan B. wants to know, Jay, what will be your focus after you collect all the Joes? Assuming you collect them all. And you need something else or something else that you want to juggle as a secondary collecting goal.
So Ryan, that's a great question. What will
be your focus?
I started doing this because I'm very burnt out and tired of new toys being whatever it is, He-Man, all that stuff. I'm just tired of chasing that stuff. And the amount of money that goes into these things, I just look at it like, wow, you know, I keep complaining about Classified and I'm on the fence about it. I keep complaining about the O-ring stuff, the new stuff. It's like, why don't I just finish the vintage? Because the new stuff doesn't even touch it. It's hard to say afterwards. I'm almost done Buck Rogers. Mego Buck Rogers I would like to get. I need two figures and one ship for that. Kenner Star Wars, though, is probably the next big one. But I don't know when I'll finish Joe. So I'm about... just over half, I'd say, for G.I. Joe, maybe a little bit more.
Silver Knight Kyle is loving all the NQ Nintendo Quest reminders he's seeing in his YouTube feed, which is awesome. We had a couple things come out for that in Action Figure Adventure as well in the past week. Upstate Johnny is saying he would definitely need the blank with all the bells and whistles, but it depends on the personality, I guess, visually iconic characters and what you would need to see there. Not everybody probably needs all the accoutrements, so to speak. Danny says he doesn't complete anything. Maybe one day Filmation's Ghostbusters or Captain Power, because they are small lines. Small but tricky and super expensive for those key pieces, although you have a lot of the harder to tough fine pieces.
Yeah, Dan, Dan's got really, I don't want to say peculiar taste.
His taste. Captain Power.
They're great, man. Like he's
the champagne of action figures. His collection is
really incredible, and he's got a lot of stuff that not a lot of collectors go for. The real Ghostbusters playset he has, geez, that's a grail, man. That thing is just incredible.
Oh, the Filmation Ghostbusters playset.
Sorry, the Filmation. Yeah, what did I say? Yeah,
the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, whatever. The gorilla one. Yeah, that one.
Tracy the Ape. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Tater the Toy Guy has a question. He says, I have a question. How do I convince my wife I need Eternia? What do we got to say to Cindy? What do we got to say to make this happen?
Well, that's an expensive piece, my brother. I still have not unboxed it. Rob's had the chance to play around with it and shoot it. It's gigantic. It's two gray skulls tall, and probably 4 or 5 wide. So to display something and have that beautiful box as well, you need a lot of space. This isn't helping your case, by the way. I would want to say, you know what? Eternia is in the same realm as the flag. It's one of those showpieces. It's one of those showstoppers. And if you get something like that, everything else will fall under it and pale in comparison. This is one of those big lifetime achievements in collecting.
And the nice thing is,
yeah, get that, put it on display, and everything else will seem like easy to acquire.
And easy to purchase, because nothing will be as expensive as this. So once you drop this kind of cash, you're never going to sweat anything that's lower than it. Because it's like, well, I've dropped more money on Eternia. I can certainly afford to get the sail barge after this. So who knows? Hexacalibur. Yeah, Hexalibur wants to know what your plan for collecting all the Joes is, Jay. How are you going to go after it?
Well, that's a tough one. I have a list. I should say I have a list on my iPhone of the ones I need. And so I'm basically just, you know, I don't want to go crazy because some of the stuff is really expensive. Night Force is ridiculous. Tiger Force is getting up there. Python Patrol. So it's kind of like I force myself to get a couple of really crappy ones. And they're like DJ and Psych Out. And if any Joe fans out there know those guys, they're terrible. And if I offend any Psych Out fans, I apologize. But he's probably the goofiest.
I'm going to have to end the broadcast at this point. You're insulting Psych Out.
I want to give a shout out to Rhett as well. Thanks for that compliment. I work really hard on those G.I. Joe Battlefield accessories. So thanks, man, for watching my YouTube stuff. I appreciate it.
Well, there we go. Who's lost at the top there? You guys are just flooding the chat, which is awesome. Yeah, I'm really liking those accessories. I want to see more in action on the next operation. Operation Footloose Part 2. I want to see some of those subtly in the background. So when we watch it, we're going, oh, what is that thing? And then we can watch the video that explains it.
The Footloose one, yeah, I'm going to be doing, I probably this week, I'm going to do another one. And as you know, Rob, to be on camera, even though I'm not on camera, you got to be in a special state of mind, right? And to do something silly like that Footloose one, which was so fun, you got to be really like hyper and stuff. So it's kind of like the time chooses me. I don't choose. Like I always get up at 6.
You got to do with that first cup of coffee.
I start shooting by 7 and then, yeah, you go from there. But you got to be really hyper to do that stuff. So hopefully this weekend sometime I'll shoot it.
Speaking of brand oversaturation with all the different versions of G.I. Joe that are out there, one of the questions that came to me this week is, which brand is getting more watered down because there's an overabundance on the shelves or availability, G.I. Joe or Masters of the Universe? With Masters, there's Origins, Revelations, Mega Constructs, Minis. I think there's Mondo is releasing figures still for that.
I would say out of the both, Masters has much more, but in like seeing the new Master stuff never bothers me, and it always makes sense to me. Mattel is doing it right. They're releasing vehicles and playsets, even with the Revelation stuff. You know, they released Battle Cat. They're doing it right. G.I. Joe doesn't make sense to me, and it hurts because the classified figures are very cool, but none of it makes sense. Why they're releasing this character. You know, now Dr. Mindbender, it's okay. Why? Like you're going from Tiger Force, then to this, then to that. You're going to bring stuff up here.
Yep. Here we go. Some classified figures that have come up. Let's just dance through here. So, of course, one of the big reveals was this Viper Troop Pack. Jay, what are your thoughts on this?
It's the first time I've seen it. Yeah, I don't recall seeing that. You know what? I like the Cobra officers if I'm going to army build. I've never been a huge Viper guy. There's something about the helmet that just didn't sit right. I don't like that. You know, we're Cobra commanders, troops. Here you go. You can see it. I don't know. That's just me, though. They're cool looking, but I don't even have the Viper, the original Viper they released for classified. So
They got Alley Viper as well. They have the bats.
They have Alley Viper, but they don't release. What's his face? The SWAT guy. It just doesn't make. It doesn't. I can't believe I can't remember his name now. Shockwave.
So you're gonna have a hard time collecting all those figures, Jay, if you can't remember the names of them.
Yeah, they don't really Shockwave, who is the urban soldier, SWAT soldier, to combat Cobra's urban assault soldier, which is Alley Viper. See, you see what I'm saying? It's like those were released almost alongside each other, so it would make sense to get, okay, here's the good guy for the urban warfare, and here's the bad guy.
Stalker's been announced, of course. What do you think of him?
Stalker's good. He's okay. I mean, he's very important, especially in the comics. Yeah, we knew the twins were coming.
Now, the twins. So, one of my favorite characters or sets of characters in G.I. Joe, Zaymot and Tomax. Love them. Disappointed that they're being sold separately and not as a two-pack. You know, you would think if they're going to do a three-pack of troops... You would get the two pack as an homage to how the figures were originally released. And for some reason, I don't know why, it just feels like a cash grab to see them separate and like none other before really feel like the same figure.
You know what they should have done, man? They should have released Zaymot and Tomax in their business suits.
Yeah.
That was a huge missed opportunity.
But don't worry, Comic-Con's coming around the corner. They'll give you the same thing with just different outfits on.
They are, of course, the in charge of the Crimson Guards for Cobra, and I just think that's a real missed opportunity. And you know they're going to make one harder to get than the other, so everyone will have Zaymot, no one will have Tomax.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else was announced. I think Zaranna was announced, but there's, I don't know if she's a
Tiger Force guys, which see, those are Target, I believe.
Bazooka, Tiger Force Bazooka, which is probably the only figure that I'm excited for, because that was like one of my first entry points into Joe. So I will be probably picking that up.
Yeah, and you're a Tiger Force guy, and I can respect that. I've come to appreciate it over the years. I hated it as a kid. I remember it was very ugly and it didn't make sense. But when you read it in the comics really explain it well, where it's camouflage on the vehicle so radar can't detect them, so it makes sense. That being said, where's the vehicles for Python Patrol and Tiger Force? There's no vehicles. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like Hasbro throws, you know, Bazooka out there and everyone loses their mind and they buy it just because it's Bazooka without questioning if it makes sense.
I never understood how something painted bright green and yellow was supposed to hide from the enemy. If anything, I think it stands out a bit.
I think it was more radar technology. It wasn't the visual.
It wasn't visual because it was the opposite effect. Like, Python Patrol was
the worst, like color wise, like what they did to Copperhead and even the Crimson Guard. It's all Python. Yeah. He's all yellow, black, and it's like, wait a minute, he's a Crimson Guard. But anyway,
Rhett, I don't actually like the look of the twins. You're saying the twins look amazing. I had them pre-ordered. I snapped them up right away, and then I took some time. Had my second coffee of the day, went back and looked at them, and I just found the joints a little clunky looking, and they looked, I don't know, like large circular muscle masses shown, like just shoved together.
I'm with Red. I think they look great. I like you, Rob. I love the twins, and I never was a fan of the way the faces looked in Real American Hero line. So it's good to see them look more like the cartoon, more cartoon accurate. But yeah, why they're not in a two-pack? Like, they could have done a really cool package with the mirror in the middle, you know, like the originals, and they're not doing that.
So. Missed opportunity. That one's crying for some cool packaging, and maybe we'll get cool packaging if they get released in different suits. One of the other waves that was just announced was for a line that I swore, Jay, that I was all in on. I'm going to try to do my best to bring it up here as I talk to you. I was all in on this line. I was going to actually get the Rule of Two for everything in this line as well. Oh, I was just like, no, this is the one that I'm going to do it. This is the one that I'm going to do it. Do you know which line I'm talking about?
Turtles.
That was another one that I thought I was going to do it. So you're not wrong.
Okay, no, I don't know then. Yeah.
This, and I went so far as I actually made a Facebook group page because I was so excited by this line that I was going to try to call all the information and do actually like videos and just try to talk to people about this line and everything that was going to be surrounded by it. Just couldn't, this new wave just doesn't do it for me. And that's Disney Ultimates. And
oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm a huge Disney fan. It's a huge part of our family. And wave one and wave two had some pretty cool characters, but wave three, as you see here, is like almost like deep cuts across the board. You get the alligator from Fantasia.
Let me see if I can guess and bring up that big picture. And you want to see something okay. Hilarious in chat. Watch me try and guess the werewolf on the left. That's probably they come together, right? Cause that's disguised as Granny and then the wolf. No, or is that two different guys?
It's just one character and like a head swap. And
there's of course the yelling guy.
That's actually the Queen of Hearts from Alice yep. in Wonderland. And she does come with the king.
The little guy. Oh, that's the king. And then, of course, Lilo and Stitch or Stitch or
this,
Lilo.
This is Stitch, yeah. Stitch, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, this is a deep cut character, the alligator. We're getting the hippo, so that kind of complements it. But that's like a C-level Disney character, in my opinion. We're getting the Queen of Hearts and the King of Hearts. We're already getting Alice and the Mad Hatter. So we're super heavy on Alice in Wonderland. And the Big Bad Wolf is from Silly Symphonies. Mm-hmm. Again, super early Disney stuff. This line could be a home run without question if they just focused on the villains from every Disney film and their sidekicks or some of the more memorable secondary characters. If there's like licensing issues, say with the Disney princesses, because we know how popular those are in doll form. I'm really curious to see about the scope of what they can do with this line. Seeing Stitch is cool because we know now it's not just going to be classic Disney, it's going to be newer Disney films as well. But just, oh man, just really bummed out with all these deep cuts. And this is the first wave that I don't know I want a single figure from it. The Queen of Hearts is probably my least favorite character from Alice in Wonderland, the least imaginative and memorable, and I don't know.
And I mean, that's scary too, right? Saying you want to complete a new line because you don't really know what's coming next. So yeah, that's too bad for you. But
Everything's been great about it. I mean, when you compare, I'll see if I can search it. When you compare all the other Ultimates, the other waves, it's like night and day. So here's wave two, where you get Robin Hood, awesome, huge win. When you get the stork costume with him, you get the Mad Hatter as a character, you get Alice, and you get the hippo from Fantasia, you know, Hyacinth, which is, again, a bit of a deep cut, but four main characters for one deep cut. That's a good ratio. I can deal with it. And then when you're talking wave one, they don't have it here as a wave, but you have Pinocchio, you have Sorcerer Mickey, and you have Prince John from Robin Hood. Again, all A-level characters. So it's like, okay, this is going somewhere that I can rationalize and get behind. But
maybe they're afraid that they're going to run out of A-sides too quickly. But
there's no way. With 60 films in the Disney library,
well, there's got to be a reason behind it.
It's just a universe as deep as Marvel with the amount of characters that they have with that. So
yeah, you got to have a nice mix. And there's a lot of collectors out there that like those B-side characters, but you got to have a couple home runs in there too, right? So,
yeah.
To have an entire wave that's all B-sides, yeah, I don't agree with that.
Not this time. One of the other big questions that came up, and I sent you a link when I saw the reviews hit, was the Disney World Galactic Star Cruiser reviews have finally hit. There was a press junket in which Disney invited press members for 4 hours to experience their new Galactic Star Cruiser hotel experience, this LARPing role-playing like environment where you go there for 2 days and you basically interact with cast members who don't break character, speak Huttese, and you get to do side missions the entire time. Did you take a look at any of those reviews and form an opinion on what's happening?
I have an opinion. I didn't read the reviews, but I'm aware of what it is. I have zero interest. I think, you know, if you have a family and you have children, I think it's great. I have no interest in going there, period. I think, you know, once the world finally opens up, whenever that will be, I think there's more important things to go out there and do. That's just my opinion, than spend $5,000 on a hotel room, you know.
Well, family of four is 6,000 US, my friend.
That's family of four. That's ridiculous, man. To look out a window, you know, it's like a monitor that looks like you're in a Star Cruiser. I mean, I appreciate it. I think it's great. And I would love to surround myself with Star Wars couches and chairs. And I think that's awesome. But the price tag is ridiculous. Only the elite, you know, or maybe, you know, families are going to save up for 5 years and get to go and experience this. It's just too much, man. It's too much money.
And I got to tell you, you know, from a guy that tried to take, you know, a Disney vacation with the fam, not quite every year, but frequently, you are so tired after going to those theme parks and racing around all day for like 10 hours, especially with little kids. The last thing you want to do is deal with some animatronic Rodian talking to you in Huttese when you just want to get a drink at the stupid cantina, right? Let alone all the side missions. It's like, if you're going to do that, you don't go to the park and you just kind of sit there and do your missions or whatever it is, even though some of them extend to Galaxy's Edge in the park, or you do the other. But you got to, if you're spending that kind of money, you got to take advantage of it, right? But aren't you there for the parks, or are you there to sleep in a room surrounded by lightsabers and Jedi holocrons?
There's too much to do, too little time, and too much money. I don't see the value. The only thing that I want to see is the Falcon. You know, that's the
And you can walk by that without doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I get why you can't touch it, but you can't even get near it, and I don't really like that either. I mean, I get it because, you know, people will, you know, try and break off a part of it and stuff like
germs.
Germs. Sure. But I mean, that's really the only thing that appeals to me. The bar might be cool. Like, creating your own lightsaber, I could care less about that. I think it's for kids. I think it's a great way to get younger people into Star Wars, to immerse them into that world. But for me, to go into a hotel room and someone's speaking Huttese, it's a little embarrassing. I think I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, it's okay.
Oh, come on.
You don't have to do that in front of me. And, you know,
and you would get Cuda Cuda Solo, blah, 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 blah. The part that I find the hardest sell is the time period in which they've set everything in the Star Wars universe, because it's canon. And it's set between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
Great.
You know, I think it would be better if it was set around the Mandalorian time, quite frankly. And they can obviously, you know, revamp it whenever they want, but it ties to Galaxy's Edge, so it's a little more difficult to do that.
You go inside the Falcon, right? So you get to go in the interior for the ride. So technically, I guess you do, but the outside of it, you can't get near. It's kind of fenced off. Without looking fenced off, you can't get near it. But again, great for kids and not for me and my buddies. I'm going to go, you know, probably to Vegas or something like that. I would rather do that. That's me.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. I would like to check it out. I don't have the money to do it, so I don't see myself ever doing it.
A lot of money, man. $5,000. That's a lot.
I mean, that's $5,000 US is like spending, you know, 14 days at Disney World normally, or you could do 2 days at this Star Wars thing, to put it in perspective.
And that's the thing. And you know what? We've always talked about this, how you and I both love Vegas, love the atmosphere. But it's like you see shows like Viva La Bam and all this stuff, and they get these amazing hotel rooms. And we always said it's such a waste, because you want to be around Vegas and in this heart of the city. And then you come back to the room to sleep and that's it, right? So I wouldn't want the room to be the main thing when I'm at that one time at Disney World, that one time in the Star Wars area. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like
priorities are out of whack.
If I was there for a month, if there was some like package or something, you can enjoy it more. But you only have a limited number of days. I don't want to waste it being in the hotel room.
Yeah. Upstate Johnny wants to know which of the four Disney parks to go to. It depends on who you're going with and what age group and stuff. Magic Kingdom is obviously the best kind of all round. It kind of caters to all audience. If you like science and technology and stuff, Epcot is your jam. Hollywood Studios is a little bit more of a half day park. Animal Kingdom is kind of like a half day park as well. So we always go Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and then Hollywood Studios. Those are the 4 days that we do. You can get also a park hopper pass to go back and forth. Again, that depends on how old the people you're traveling with and how much you want to do running around in Florida. There's enough to do in each park to take up a day. It's just, you know, how much do you want to do? You say 9, 6, 44, 42. Yeah, do it in the order that I suggest and you'll be fine. We're getting close to the end of the hour, Jay. Do you want to answer one more question or jump right to Action Figure Spotlight?
Yeah, I mean,
I've got lots of questions here.
As per our bet, I don't know if you want to change things up a bit. I don't really have much. I was going to talk a bit about Max Ray. I don't really have anything to show, to be honest, just because we've really cut back on that kind of stuff. So I can go and talk about Max Ray. I don't know if you got stuff. I mean, I can show your figure off, I guess. It's upstairs, but that's not really fun. We'll say that. You show it off when you get it.
Well, there's a few figures that I got, and I got them to shoot for season two. So why don't you go pick the best figure that you think that I selected and come down and talk about what you like about it.
That's easy. Okay. Make yourself big. Touch your tongue to mine.
Thumb wars. All right. So for me, I entered a dangerous path and bought into a line, again, for Action Figure Adventure, because it just so happens to fill a need of something that I haven't done. So it was a great excuse, great jumping off point. And that is to dip my toes in the amazingly yet not so affordable world of Mezco, and specifically their 112 collective line. And I got two figures from them, but the one I want to showcase this week is this Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy Krueger 112 collective. Now, show you the back of the box. I've already taken the figure out, so you'll get a good look at it. But just in case you've never purchased a Mezco figure like I had, and I didn't know what to expect, this is a 6-inch scale figure. You can see it comes with a standard array of hands that point fingers in different directions. In this case, trash can lids, multiple faces, and removable hat, in this case for Freddy as well. So, and it's a slip case, so you can see all the accessories inside. They're all just kind of thrown in there. If you want to just display it as a bubble, it works. I think the plastic is a little too thick for it to really be a display piece on a shelf. And if you're going to spend this kind of money, which I think was about 90 US on a 6-inch figure, you probably want to take it out and look at it. And the thing I like about the Mezco 112 collective line is the soft goods. So there's Freddy right there. Not overly baggy, just comfortably wearing clothes, I find. Doesn't look out of proportion, doesn't look like, you know, he's in some sort of Halloween costume that's meant to fit over a coat so you stay warm. Great articulation, actually really stiff joints and articulate. Unlike NECA, I feel like I can move this around anywhere without fear of it breaking. Super cool.
Is that Mezco? You said that's Mezco?
Yeah, Mezco 112.
They're great, man.
So this is the first Mezco I've purchased, and I had to purchase it for the series because we talk about soft goods and clothing and different action figure materials. And I thought, why not get something cool like a horror figure, since we've been talking about horror figures a little bit more lately as well. So I got a Freddy Krueger.
Mezco gets thumbs up in my books. I have two Daredevils and a Punisher, all based on the Netflix show. And they are amazing figures. So, yeah, the cloth is great. Like, Freddy's sweater is supposed to be a tiny bit baggy on the chest. They do it perfectly. My Daredevil stuff, it's tight where it needs to be tight, and it's awesome.
And you can look at the difference between the sweater, which again is supposed to be a little bit looser, and the pants, which fit really, really well, are almost tapered to the individual and don't look out of place, don't have a different sheen, have a nice matte finish. So, great figure in my books, and I can't wait to shoot it and include it in the series. All right, Jay, which one of my figures are you showcasing for my second Action Figure Spotlight? But your opinion weighing in on it.
Well, I recently got rid of all my DC Multiverse because enough's enough and I don't need to collect any more lines. And then, lo and behold, I was out today, and of course I see this figure, which was, you know, I mean, I messaged you right away when I saw it when I was out, and you're like, yep, grab me that. So I did. This is the Joker from The Killing Joke. I mean, I'm just going to let everyone look at that. If you can see it, hopefully through the plastic. This is next to Heath Ledger's Joker. This is the coolest Joker, in my opinion. It is just an absolutely horrific Batman story, very adult Batman story, but they've captured Joker perfectly. 7-inch scale. I'm not a fan of this line simply because I don't like McFarlane's plastic, which is a real shame. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's called The Comedian, but it's from The Killing Joke. I don't like the plastic that they use for these figures. I also saw the Princess Bride figures today, and that was really tough to not get. Wesley, that was so hard, but I let him go. Some great Spawn stuff, you know, a lot of great Warhammer stuff from McFarlane. They're really killing it. Just like NECA, though, I just don't appreciate the plastic. So we got, of course, the iconic camera from the cover image and the bloody crowbar. We all know what happens with that bloody crowbar. So this was the one of the ones I picked up for you, Rob. I think this was my favorite. The Batgirl's pretty sick, though.
I'm a little surprised you picked that one. I thought you were going to pick another one, and maybe when I get them in my possession, I can showcase them.
He looks fantastic, but it's a Batman story that we both love.
Sure.
And to see the Joker from that particular story is great.
Yeah, there's no shortage of Jokers or Batmans in the McFarlane DC stuff. Yeah. It seems every wave has one. There's even a Joker dragon now, which is, again, really interesting. There's some really interesting variants and iterations coming out, which is cool for the deep cut fans out there. And if there's going to be deep cuts you want to get from, it's probably going to be from Batman. I wish Legends would do more deep cut Spider-Man stuff. Not that we don't get a lot of Spider-Man stuff, but you know,
some Jamie, there's they call him the Dread Pirate Roberts on the side of the box. So there's Wesley, there's Inigo Montoya, and then there's Buttercup in the red dress, and then there's the I can't remember Andre the Giant's character, but they have those four. Andre's huge.
They're literally great. Had it in my head and I just lost it. Oh my goodness.
Fezzik or something like that. They're great, great looking figures. They're just amazing. But it's like,
I don't like Andre
on the phone today, Rob. It's like, I want Wesley, but what am I going to do with a Wesley figure? So you almost kind of feel compelled to buy all four, and then you're in $150. So it's like, I can't get just one, right? So
again, it's a cool movie. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome movie, but I don't know that I need figures from it. And there's so many shows that have figures. Like, I really like The Boys on Amazon. I think that is such a fun superhero show based on comics. So good, but I don't need the figures.
And sorry to interrupt you, man. The same thing before I lose it with the NECA Back to the Future. You know, I got the whole wave before I realized.
Yeah.
Once the hype of seeing them and reviewing them was over, like, they're now in the boxes on my wall. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with these now? So it's the same thing. Yeah, it's, I don't know. That's just my opinion, but there you go.
All right, we got time for one more question. I'm going to throw it out before we do our normal send-off. And I guess it would be, well, we'll just piggyback off the Star Wars one. If you had to pick an IP to be immersed in as a guest, like for a guest experience, let's say it's affordable, let's say it's a weekend long thing, what IP would it be? So you go to wherever, and you could be in Eternia, you could be, obviously Star Wars doesn't do it for you unless it is just the price point. It could be Cybertron, it could be wherever. What IP would you like to be immersed in?
Star Wars does it for me, don't get me wrong. It's the price point and the amount of time that you have there. It's too much and too much. That's the only problem I have. Of course, I would love to walk around, but not for $5,000. That's ridiculous.
What's the price point for you for that to work then?
I'm not a big vacation guy anyway. Like, for me, you know, I like going to the bars and having fun with my buddies. So it to go there and stay in a hotel room, and I don't know, it's maybe $1,000, but that's really pushing it too. I would rather just go see like actual places on the earth, but that's just me. Surprisingly, I know I would pick that. Yeah, Hill Valley would be cool. Just that little set, maybe Hill Valley in 2005, or was it 2015? That would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a good question, Rob. I didn't even think about an answer to that. I don't think I'd want to see Eternia. I think that would be.
Oh, well, like, I got news for you. I got news for you, buddy. You can go outside right now and see Eternia from the hit 1987 Masters of the Universe film because it was all on Earth.
So I've been to California before. I've been to Robbie's Rib Shack. It's also where they shot Thor. Remember that? Thor in like New Mexico. Yeah, been there too. That's what a great escape from reality. How awesome would that be?
Gotham would be great, but it would be terrifying to walk outside.
There's an Airbnb, and then we'll get to the wrap up. There is an Airbnb in New York that I believe is subterranean and is decked out like the sewer lair. And it looks really awesome. That would be, I think it's $5,000 a night to sleep in a sewer.
I mean, the same, like even like Daredevil's like Hell's Kitchen, which is basically Gotham, you know, those are cool to look at, but to wander around in, I don't, unless you're in fact a Daredevil, then I'll do it. But just as a regular person with no kind of moves, I'll stay inside.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know what the most immersive experience. I mean, I'm totally down for that. That wouldn't bother me. The price point bothers me, and I'd want to do it probably as a family. So I'd have to think about that. But Jay, where can people find you and keep up with all your shenanigans?
YouTube. Check me out on YouTube, where I am now officially the Jay Bartlett champion. I have taken down the Exorcist. He is eating my dust now. I am ahead in subscribers. And I'm very proud of that achievement. So check me out. I'm pumping out 3 videos a week now. And guys, I love talking. There's lots of people in the chat now that I talk to every single video. And I love the support, guys. Thank you very much. And I'll keep making them if you have suggestions on stuff you'd like to see. Because it's really hard. YouTube's a tough thing, man. You know, sometimes I put something out and it doesn't do so well. It's hard to know what's a hit and miss. So whatever you'd like to see, let me know, and I can try to oblige you.
I want to see you do Nintendo Quest today. That's what I want to see you do.
Nintendo Quest. Oh, what, the whole thing?
Yeah, 30 days. Go.
Let's do it. Done. I got a file on my computer, like old Mason says. Here we go.
Awesome. You can check me out basically here on this YouTube channel where you're enjoying this, unless you're watching this on Facebook, in which case get over to YouTube, subscribe and like, check out the videos, Nintendo Quest stuff, action figure adventure stuff, plus probably random other crap that I'm discovering on hard drives that I haven't looked at in over a decade. Check it out. Appreciate the support, guys. Appreciate the love. What another fun evening. Thanks for the chat back and forth and the questions. I have more questions. We may even just do a part 2 of questions next week. And maybe the return of Kobayashi Maru. I thought we should just give it a break for 1 week before it gets overplayed a little too much. So
that's fine.
We try to wrap these up somewhat similarly every week and never seem to do so. Jay, for the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, take care of yourselves.
And each other.
Because, Jay, the best part of
waking
playtime, Jay. The best part of the day, Jay, is... What time, Jay?
Oh, that's coffee time, buddy. You know that.
It's coffee time with toys.
Hey, that's a good show title. Coffee time with toys.
There you go.
Don't anyone steal that.
That's our new morning chat show. We're switching formats. We're doing it. I'll see you guys next week. Cheers.